Welcome to Key Conversations Podcast. I'm your host, Emmanuel de Moliere, and I'd like to welcome you to this episode. Today is Friday, August 31st, I believe. Sorry, August 28th. So I'd like to welcome you to this episode. And for those who have been supporting us thus far, I want to say thank you. Everyone who's listened to our first three episodes, the feedback has been actually unreal. Not just domestically, but, internationally. And I'm very grateful and thankful for everyone who's been listening, everyone who sent me a message. I've been getting some, DMs and messages and things of that nature. So it's been very encouraging and very humbling also. So I'm very happy that, people are enjoying the podcast thus far. And we have a lot more good things on the way. So looking forward to continuing to grow and showing you guys and providing you guys with good content. And hopefully, like I said, my goal is for someone to get one thing out of every episode. If it helps one person, if one person can be encouraged, if one person can learn from it, if one person can just believe in themselves, if one person gets an idea from something that we covered, something that was said, that is my goal. And I'm very pleased with the feedback so far. So today's episode is going to be quick. Let's have a few things to talk about. A few things on my mind. First, I want to talk about how. What exactly have you learned about yourself during this pandemic? During this lockdown, most of us have been home since March, so that's 5 months, 6 months. Some of us will be home, until next year, actually, until for the remainder of the year. And I want to know what you guys have learned about yourselves during this pandemic, because we spend a lot of time being home, whether you're home with your family, whether you live alone. What have you learned about yourself? What have you done differently during this time? Have you been more creative? Did you start a business? Are you spending more quality time with your family? So first, let's start with what are you guys doing anything to better yourselves during this time? There are a lot of resources out there, free courses, free online courses on pretty much any topic that you can think of, that are available to you if you wanted to learn about a topic. I mean, everything from accounting to using Excel to religious studies. I mean, there are tons of colleges that have free online courses available. So there are those things out. Those things are out there if you're looking to, better yourself in a certain way. Also, if you're home with your family, do you find that this time actually has been better for you guys as a family? If you're married or if you're living with someone and you have children or not, do you find that you're spending more quality time with your family and that person? Or do you find that, it's a little too much, or is it overwhelming? I've spoken to people and I've gotten both answers. Some people are telling me that it's been the greatest time they've ever had with their families. I'm one of those people. I feel like this has been a great time for myself and my family and my wife and my children. We're spending a lot of time together, time that, we usually would not have because we're out working. And but I've had people who've told me that, they can't wait to go back to work because, it's just a little overwhelming being around their children and their wives. And, they're finding themselves working harder from home and have to get their own personal things done. So I'm getting a mixture of different points of views when it comes to that topic. Also, do you find that you're using your time wisely? Sometimes when you have a lot of time, you take it for granted because you're home. And, you're going to be home most of the day. You think that you have all the time in the world to get certain things done. And that's a great recipe for getting nothing done. You let the entire day go by and you'll have plenty of things to do. And, you know, you find yourself not really getting most of it done because you think that you have all the time in the world because you are home. And that has happened to a lot of people, to myself, you know, also. You get really comfortable being home at times. And that's why it's very important to have a to-do list to kind of, you know, follow things that you have to do. And if you don't, you know, do a to-do list, whatever system works for you as far as, you know, getting things done. But, you know, but it's definitely very, very easy to take the time for granted. You know, if you want to call someone, I'll call them in a little bit. And because, again, you're home, you have time, you know, you think that you have time to do it, but something comes up and, you know, it takes your attention away for hours, you know, and you know, you never quite get to that one thing that you wanted to do. Do you find yourself being more productive? Or are you getting more done? Which is kind of the same thing, but are you getting more things done? Are you more focused? Do you concentrate more on things, on your task? You know, are you actually getting things done? Are you not just busy? You know, did you have a book that you wanted to write? Or are you working on the book? Did you have a podcast that you wanted to release? Are you working on a podcast? You know, have you updated your resume? Are you keeping in touch with people more often because you are home? Are you, you know, starting your e-commerce business, starting your whatever kind of business it is? You know, are you finding that you are using this time very wisely, right? Because it would be, you know, it's going to be a horrible thing that, you know, when this thing finally blows over, you know, we're finally able to go back to whatever, or to go to whatever this new norm is going to be, going back to the office or whatever your regular routine was, and you had all these months, you know, to kind of get certain things done, and, you know, and you didn't get it done. That's going, and I kind of keep that in, you know, fresh in my mind whenever I start procrastinating and I feel like I'm being stagnant. Like, you know what, it's going to be a, you know, I can't get this time back. So I would hate for whenever the time comes that I go back to normal and, you know, I had time to get certain things done and I did not do it. So I use that as a personal motivational thing for myself to start to actually get back on track. Once I feel that I start slacking, you know, with my time management. So, and also, what have you learned about, you know, overall, what have you learned about yourself? You know, have you taken the time to really get to know yourself? Have you taken the time to, you know, get closer to God if you're a religious person? Have you figured out, you know, what have you learned about yourself? Are you impatient? You know, what areas of your life do you need to work on? You know, what have you figured out about yourself? So hopefully, you know, during this time, you've taken the time to get a lot of things done, be productive. Have you lost your discipline? Like myself, you know, before this pandemic, I was, you know, going to the gym 4 days a week. I was getting back into shape. I was in a great, I had my routines down. I was eating very healthy. And for the first, you know, maybe month or so of quarantine, you know, it was the same. Then since then, you know, things kind of went downhill from there. You know, I've gained back like at least 10 pounds. I've lost my discipline when it comes to working out. I'm snacking a lot more because I'm home, and there's, you know, I'm still eating fruits and vegetables, eating healthy, but I'm also eating chips and cookies because I'm home and that stuff is around me. So it's about having the discipline and not fall into temptation. Because the stuff is around you, having that willpower to not, you know, to not eat the things I usually would not eat. So I need to get back on track with exercising and working out myself. So hopefully, you know, if you've also, you know, kind of fallen off in that department, hopefully, you know, this motivates you to get back in shape. You know, we'll start that, you know, we'll get back in that within on that journey together. And, you know, let's keep track of it. And keep me updated on your progress, and I'll keep you guys updated on my progress also. I want to get to a topic that was brought up months ago by Andrew Yang, who was a Democratic presidential candidate. And his his main pitch, I call it, to becoming president was universal income. So his idea was that he wanted to give every American $1,000 a month. Just everyone gets $1,000 a month, whether you have a job or not, $1,000 a month. And he felt that automation was going to eliminate millions and millions of jobs in a lot of different areas, and that, you know, in order to keep people afloat, $1,000 a month, you know, would keep you afloat, especially if you don't have a job. And if you do have a job, it's just an additional $1,000 a month to kind of make things easier for you. So you can put it towards your bills, you can put it towards your groceries. You know, if you have kids, you know, that'll definitely help you out. You know, you could put it towards your utility, your rent, your mortgage payment, whatever the case may be. So now the pushback against his idea was that, you know, number one, obviously, who's going to pay for it and how? And number two, that if you give most people free money, like $1,000 a month, they would get lazy, they would lose motivation, and they would just stay home and you know, become losers and do nothing with their lives. That was a big argument, that most people need something, a goal. Most people need something to do and something to work towards. And that giving them free money would somehow, you know, make them lose motivation, and they would not work as hard or want to work. So now, number one, when it comes to how it was going to be paid for, one thing that the pandemic has shown us is that when the government has to do something, it just does it. It figures out how to do it, right? There are a lot of things that they said we cannot afford, the government cannot afford, and, you know, that's why they weren't done. And all of a sudden, you know, we're going on the third bailout package. And this one is also going to be over $2 trillion. And they're just printing money as they need it. So if they can print money to bail out, you know, these major corporations once again, and to send people $1,200, which they really should have been sending everyone $1,200 a month since maybe May or June. But again, it's usually about corporations and big companies that, you know, they usually get bailed out before the people do. So if they can come up with the money and print money for that, they can print money for universal income. It's obviously doable. The government does, you know, what it wants, or whatever its best interest is for, you know, for itself or and whoever it is that they need to come through for. Also, now, Andrew Yang's thing was that over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, automation was going to eliminate millions of jobs. So now with the pandemic, there are over, I think the last figure I heard was 30 something million people. But I read in Forbes that the numbers actually, there are over 51 million people not working presently. 51 million people without jobs. So it happened a lot quicker than what he thought. You know, it went from years to literally a couple of months after he dropped out of the race, it happened, maybe a month or so. So, you know, I think now universal income is looking like it's a really good idea, and that it's something that will be necessary for the next maybe couple of years, if not, you know, indefinitely. You know, let's say the number is correct and there are 51 million people out of work. I think the projection is that over 40% of them will not get their jobs back. 40 to 50%. So more than 20 million people will not be going back to whatever jobs they had prior to the pandemic. So, you know, and it's not just because they don't want to go to work. Those jobs will no longer exist. And some people will have to learn new skills prior to finding a job. So how do they sustain themselves? So, and again, you know, I personally do not believe that most people who will receive $1,000 will all of a sudden just get lazy and stay home. Will some people do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that some people will. Just, you know, listen, I'm getting free money. I'm out here, you know, they'll take advantage of it. Like someone like myself, if I got $1,000 a month, if I got $5,000 a month, I would not stay home and do nothing. I would not. You know, I would not be motivated to just stay home. I already have plans in my head right now of what I would do with an additional $5,000 a month, how I would invest it, you know, what I would put it into, you know, how much of it would go to my children, how much of it would go into a business. So, but that's just me. Everyone's not like that. But I know, I personally know a lot of people who think the same way that I do. You know, I personally do not know many people who would stay home. So, you know, that's where the number's kind of off to me, because, you know, so every person that I know that's like that knows a group of people that are the same way. So, you know, I don't think most people will just get lazy and just take the free money and do nothing with their lives. I don't believe that will be the case at all. So I would love to see what you guys think about that. How do you guys feel about universal income? Are you for it? Are you against it? You know, I mean, obviously, if you don't have a job right now, I'm sure you're for it. You know, but I would love to see how you guys feel about that, and what are your thoughts are about that. So drop us a few comments. You know, send me an email, keyconversationspodcast@gmail.com. Drop me a note, drop me a comment or DM on Instagram at Key Conversations Podcast. You know, and I'm actually going to post this question on social media tomorrow to see, to see what kind of feedback we get from it. Also, with the election coming up, and there's just so much going on from both parties. So many people are still so disappointed and angry at both parties that, you know, this seems to be the pattern that, you know, when you're not happy with either party, that you will not, some people will just not vote. And I also want to know how you guys feel about that. Are you voting? Are you not voting? If you're not happy with either side, what do you do? You know, are you a diehard Republican and you're going to vote for Trump regardless? Are you a diehard Democrat and you're going to vote for Biden and Kamala regardless, whether you're happy with them as people or agree with their policies or not? Are you going to vote for them regardless, or are you just going to sit on your vote and, you know, not vote for anyone and let it play out and deal with it when it comes? You know, I believe that, you know, you have to vote your interests. You have to vote for what's best for you. Unfortunately, you know, on both sides may have something that is for you and you just don't like the people. Are you able to separate, you know, the people, these candidates from, you know, from some of their policies, right? Because, President Trump has policies that will hurt you, will hurt a lot of people, especially like the middle class and things of that nature. And Democrats have policies that will hurt some higher income earners. And from what I've read so far from Joe Biden's tax plan, It will be beneficial to the middle class and anyone making, I believe, under $400,000 a year. And if you have children, it's going to be better for you. So that's great. But I saw that the drawback was that over the next, I think, 10 years, somehow it will, a side effect of it is going to cause over 500,000 jobs to be lost. I'm not sure how true that is, but if that is true, you know, then what? Do you still vote for that? Because even if you're not one of those people, if 500,000 people lose their jobs, on top of the people that are already losing their jobs now, we will all be affected regardless. You can't separate us. You know, we're all one people, whether we want to be or not. And whatever happens to a majority of people will affect everyone else. That's just the bottom line. That's very, very important for people to kind of, you know, understand that logic. So, you know, are you voting your interest? Are you voting party? Are you voting person? I see that the thing with Trump is that he's such a polarizing figure that a lot of his supporters are voting for him. Even if his policies are doing nothing for them, they will vote for him. They're voting for him. Just like when Barack Obama was president, a lot of folks voted for Barack Obama, not just the Democratic Party. You know, and a lot of people saw that was not a good idea, because I'm sure it worked out for some people, but it also did not work out for a lot of people. So I'm just curious as to how you guys are voting. Is it, you know, party or person? Number three, I'm not going to cover too much on this because I actually have In the next couple of weeks, a special racism episode coming out. But I do want to touch on, you know, the rioting that is still going on all over the country that the media is really not covering since George Floyd's death. There's still been, you know, there are still riots and, well, let me not say riots. There are still protests going on all over the country. But the media is not really covering that. And a couple of days ago, Jacob Blake, I believe, from Wisconsin, was shot 7 times in his back by a police officer. And I have not watched the video. I just haven't, you know, watched any of those. It's just too much sometimes. Sometimes you have to kind of take a break from watching things like that, from watching, you know, people just get, murdered or killed, especially people who look like you. It just affects us in a different way. And, you know, like I said, I have not looked into all of the particulars for this case, but from what I've heard, I'm hearing so many different things. I'm just waiting for the facts to come out. However, from what I understand, the one fact is this, that he was shot 7 times in his back. So, meaning that he was not facing the officer. From what I understand, the officer saying that he was reaching in his car for something. He could have been tased. And the thing is, you know, the officer did that and he had 3 of his children in the car and they had to witness their dad. You know, that happened to their dad. Now, he is alive, but from what I understand, he will be paralyzed from the legs down. But it is a horrific thing. And these things are still happening. I'm not sure what the motive was. I don't know if the cop was a racist, but either way, he was excessive in the way that he reacted. Whether he was racist or not, I don't know. And as a result of that now, you have the 17-year-old kid who killed 2 innocent people who were protesting. Again, I'm hearing different stories about that. Those people weren't innocent, and one of them has a shaky background. But he is still a 17-year-old kid with an AR-15 at a protest that his mother drove him to from another city, another state, actually. And she was also there from a picture that I saw, from what they're showing anyway, you know, with an assault rifle herself. And, you know, he shot and killed 2 people and injured another, and she, you know, drove him back home. And the police chief of that city, I saw the comments that he made. He said that, you know, his first comment was that, you know, if they weren't breaking curfew, that none of this would have happened. Now, is that a fact? Yeah, if they were breaking curfew and they weren't out there, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a fact what he said. But the fact that was his angle for justifying what happened tells you what kind of person that he is. You know, that's all I needed to hear from him for that. You know, anything else that he says doesn't really matter because, you know, even if it's true, even if that's how he feels, 2 people were still killed on your watch and a 17-year-old kid still did it, you know, and he got arrested nice and calmly and no incidents. And they're calling him, you know, the media is already, you know, spinning the whole thing. He's being called a vigilante. He was there to protect property. And you see a picture of him, you know, cleaning up graffiti on the walls. And you can see it was a photo op. And, you know, he just turned around and posed for the picture. You can see that it was staged. He was not wearing a mask. And even when he was walking in the street, you know, he was not wearing a mask. And even prior to the shooting, you see him, he was walking with police officers. A police officer gave him a bottle of water to drink and another one was talking to him, you know, so you can see how he's being treated differently. I just know that if this was a 17-year-old black kid walking in that protest with an assault rifle, this would be a totally different outcome. His life, his, you know, the fate, his fate would have been totally different before and after the shooting. But he may not even have made it to you know, to shoot anybody. So it's just, you know, it's just you just see certain things, you know, and how the media handles it and the games that they play. And it kind of tells you, you know, what the agenda and motivation is without any words even having to be spoken. So, but that's all I have for right now. So, again, you know, I just want to thank you guys for supporting the podcast. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. Again, drop me, you know, send me a message on Instagram or an email. I'm very happy to hear from you guys. And, you know, looking forward to the next couple of episodes, a couple of very interesting ones coming up. So, again, and I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and send me an email. So I hope everyone has a great weekend. You know, be safe out there, and you know, enjoy life while you're here. You know, enjoy your loved ones while you're here. Tell the people that you care about that you love them while you can, while you have a chance to. And you know, just make the best of every single day. Make the best of it, because it can all, you know, it can all be gone, you know, tomorrow, tonight. So, you know, tell those that you love that you love them. Let them know that you love them. You know, as they say, give people their flowers while they're here. And, you know, try to stay as sane as possible. And God bless. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.